A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's talk about crisps, baby. Let's talk about wheat crunch cheese. Let's talk about all the discos and the skips, yo, fries, scampi. Let's talk about crisps and maze-based snacks. Let's talk about crisps and maze-based snacks.
Sam Pamphilon.
Hello, Tom McCall.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, you got to lean in on these new microphones.
These new microphones. Hey, look, I think these things must be doing really well with Acast. I guess all that kind of advert money must be coming in.
No. Right. I think this is Adam's Christmas presents.
Okay.
They're very nice ads.
Thanks.
Are you proud of them?
Yeah, my mum bought me one.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law bought me the other one. And
yeah.
And another family member got me the other one. Can't remember who it was.
Oh, ads! Come on, man.
Is there something really sad about that?
Yeah, there is.
Like, it's almost like if we were in a... We had a little part-time football team after school.
Mm-hmm. And called the Hurricanes.
Called the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
All right. And then Adam's Christmas present was a football kit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And also one for me and you.
Anyway, boys. Here we are again on our desert island. And we're joined by... yet another castaway.
Yeah.
Shall I crack on and introduce said castaway?
Well, judging by the normal length of your introduction.
You was banging on about my
intros, haven't
you?
Updated your iPhone in so long.
Yes, I have. That's about 2 weeks old, you motherfucker.
Your wallpaper is the same wallpaper that people had on their iPhones like 15 years ago.
Well, I'm just like, I'm not carried away with this putting wallpaper on or anything.
Okay. It's all quality podcast stuff, by the way. Visual jokes.
Thank you.
Listeners love that.
Well, here is our new castaway. This week's castaway is a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a multilinguist. I know that you like me saying multi.
I like when you say multi, sound. Yeah.
Yeah, multilinguist.
Multilinguist doesn't sound as good.
No, it doesn't. A multilinguist.
Yeah.
A chair inhabitor and a liquid consumer. He studied at Le Coq in Paris, studied clown. I've always wanted to do that. Was it amazing?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
It was so good.
How long were you there?
I was there for like 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And it was mainly... like concentrate on masks because I'm so used to using my face as a tool for comedy.
Right.
That I was like, actually, I want to put a mask in front of that and see how I can use my body and stuff. It was fascinating.
Would it just been the worst moment ever if you put a mask in front of your face and everyone's just like, no, it doesn't work anymore.
Your money's where your face is, which is true. I mean, my face is a grotesque display, which is very useful for comedy films and stuff like that. Thank you very much.
It's the money maker.
But it was certainly interesting to just have that gone
and
just use your body and start from the beginning. It's like they beat you so that you didn't know anything about your body and they sort of reshaped you.
Dang.
It was amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Allow me to continue. Our castaway's stand-up exploits have taken him across the globe.
God, his intros are long, aren't they?
He's not even started.
I am about, I'd say, a 16th of the way through.
What?
They normally take about 20 minutes.
I do like it when people talk about me, though, so continue.
Oh, right, there is a point. You kind of see the guests go through this little thing where they're like, okay, oh, it's quite nice to hear that stuff. This is a bit long. I feel really self-conscious. And by the end, they're just kind of completely emboldened.
This is feeding my ego. I'm loving it.
Okay, allow me to feed. Allow me to warn you. I have lifted most of it directly from your website, so it might sound a little bit...
Oh, so it's my word as well. It's even better. I'm loving this.
So,
your publicist.
Our Castaway has performed at Montreal's Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, the Johannesburg Comedy Festival, several solo shows at the Edinburgh Fringe. He's also supported Eddie Izzard in English and in French.
Holy moly.
Mon ami. That's about the limits of my French, I'm afraid.
Tellboy.
That's all I know.
Yeah. He's performed a theatre run of his solo show in London and Paris, and he won the Comédie Ha Best International Comedian Award in Quebec. And yes, that was lifted word for word directly from his website.
The whole thing was 2016.
I think that's the festival.
But I only started doing stand up in French about 3 years ago. So it's a relatively new endeavour.
Yeah.
And because I sort of have the British sense of humour, but I translate in French, that like French audiences, for example, don't have a comic like me. Because they're like, this is fucking weird. Your British sense of humour, but just in French. They don't have that.
I suppose someone like Eddie Izzard it's surrealist, but it's not necessarily...
Like one thing that he told me once was he writes jokes knowing that he wants to translate them in multiple languages.
Wow.
Which is therefore an interesting challenge, but it just means that it's this sort of weird blanket, like it's trying to appeal sort of everybody.
He's trying to Mr. Bean it. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get that worldwide audience.
Which is an amazing, amazing endeavour to take on, but I sort of prefer trying to be funny in my one language.
One language at a time.
And then obviously, you know, try and do it in French, which is definitely challenging.
You know, with Mr. Bean, they keep releasing these films over here like Mr. Bean. No, the Johnny English. Shit. But like, who's fucking watching this?
Americans, they love it, I think.
Yeah. The rest of the world absolutely love
Mr. Bean's
shit.
Like the biggest thing. Mr. Bean's like the biggest thing in the world. He's made so much money off Mr. Bean.
Johnny English.
Do you reckon he must get sick of it when he has to put those clothes on and go,
Did you hear that rumour about the fact that Rowan Atkinson said that he didn't want Mr. Bean to be played in Italy because it's one of his favourite countries? And therefore, he could go on holiday there and not be left like and be left alone. Obviously, it's not true, but I really like the idea that he's so famous. There was one country that was like, just give me this country, just give me one where I'm gonna be left alone.
If you get to any point in career, a point in your career where you can demand a country if that's something you're demanding, like I demand Italy be left alone, not Italy.
How old do you reckon he is, Rowan Atkinson? We'd have him, what?
63?
It's in mid-60s. He stole my mate's girlfriend.
Are you one of those?
Oh, is she going to be your mate? Yeah, Ross. Yeah. Do you know Ross?
No.
Anyway, we'll cut.
Oh, wait, I think I did the circus show with her.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah, because he was in the audience, and I was eating some flames, some fire, I was learning how to learn how to flame eat and
stuff.
Well,
I'm going to put that in the intro, right?
Just add it in. Yeah,
so not only is our castaway an actor, director, comedian, multi.
What's your favourite flavour? Flaming hot.
cool, Sanya, cool.
On my feet.
I haven't finished yet. I'm afraid.
No, I know you haven't.
And I'm going to crack.
I do know my website though.
Hey, this,
you could
bit,
just direct
this
them
bits me. This bits me, I promise.
Shit, I'm so excited.
You put some colour into it now. You won't.
If I were to leave it there, Sam.
It would be so much better.
I mean, I'm sure. Motherfucker. If I were to leave it there, Sam.
Yeah.
I'm sure you would agree that alone is a sizeable list of achievements.
He's got me beat.
Yeah, I'd imagine you'd say something like, do you know what? That's a sizeable list of achievements.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would say.
But I'm not going to leave it there, Sam.
You can't.
Because this is merely the tip of the metaphorical iceberg.
Don't need to say metaphorical. It is a metaphor.
Why?
Just say it's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, but it's a metaphor is. Iceberg, right?
Well, the thing about a metaphor is that you don't have to reference that it's a metaphor within it. A simile is as and like.
Yeah,
so a simile will say, hey, I'm directly comparing. Whereas a metaphor does away with the idea of directly comparing.
I'm not going to kill two metaphorical birds with one...
Metaphorical stone.
With an initial stone. I've got a real stone, but I'm now need to find two sort of metaphorical birds.
I mean, I love animals, so it's going to have to be a metaphorical bird.
Okay, I stand defeated.
Metaphorically.
Metaphorically speaking. Our Castaway's movie credits include Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
That must have been cool.
Yeah.
That was really fun, actually.
Luc Besson.
Yeah. It was
that Luc Besson?
That was a Luc Besson film,
because
yeah.
You've just done another Luc Besson one, right?
Yeah, that's coming out this year.
Is he a dude?
Yeah, he's. What I like about him is that because the time is money on his set.
Yeah.
And so he'll tell anybody, whether it's light, costume, whatever, he'll tell them if they do a good job. He'll also very much tell you if he's disappointed with you.
Okay.
Because like, it's like, come on, let's do this, go.
Is that
up.
Quite a French thing?
Well? I don't know. But, you know, when he's done Fifth Element and Leon, the professional for Americans. You know, I will allow whatever his style of directing is.
Did he direct Leon as well as being in it?
He wasn't in it.
You think Luc Besson is... You think...
Oh, shit. I'll see what I've done there.
Are you thinking that he's Jean Reno?
Yeah, I have for a second there. Jesus Christ. I've been picturing that, man.
But, in all fairness, when it first came out and it said Luc Besson on the top and it was his face, I did just kind of go... That's Luc Besson.
I've gone through my entire life thinking Jean Reno was Luc Besson.
Imagine if you'd seen Jean Reno in the street. Imagine if he'd been walking down the street with Luc Besson. And that would have been a double whammy, just going up to him going, how you direct yourself in those films is...
I know an actress, right? She went up to Dickie Attenborough and just went, at a press night at the Almeida, and just went, I just love your nature programmes are just... I've grown up on them and like they're a real inspiration to me.
Jurassic Park.
And anyway, this week's Castaway is, of course, Eric Lampaire.
Hello.
Hey, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for flying all the way from Los Angeles to be here.
I was here already. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, you want to be on time, don't you? Keep us waiting.
It's nice to be back in the UK.
How long have you been in LA?
2 years now, and it's a challenge, but it's fun. It feels like over here, or even in France. I was doing quite well in France, and the producer was like, "Just stay here, and like in a few years, I'll make you famous." And I was like, "That's very sweet, but I don't want to be here."
Yeah,
and because if you are famous in France, you're kind of only just famous in France. Mm. If you're famous in the UK, you're probably just only famous in the UK. And I was like, "I'm gonna gamble this.
Hell yeah,
I'm gonna go like full Hollywood." Because then if you make it over there, then technically, you could sort of make it all over the planet.
Yeah.
And my ego needs that.
The planet.
Nice.
I need the whole planet.
I need
or nothing!
Yeah. But leave Italy.
What took you to France?
Well, I was born in France. I'm actually French.
Right.
I've got a French passport and everything like that.
Nice.
I don't know what's going to happen post-Brexit, gentlemen.
Don't hold on to that for you.
What, my French passport?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to have the British one, though, because, I mean, listen to what I sound like. I literally grew up in the UK. I always used to say, I'm British. And now I'm like, shit, what am I? Like, what?
Oh, would there actually be any issue with what?
Well, of course.
That's
I'm European.
So weird.
Like, isn't that... And that was weird. And I remember telling a friend, I was like, when it first started a couple of years ago or whatever, and I was like, oh, that's really weird. I kind of feel unwelcome. And they were like, what are you talking about? You're like a white male. You'll be fine. And I was like, I don't think you understand politics. And so that is an interesting...
Yeah.
I'm now technically more American than British.
Now I really regret voting leave.
You're a smarmy.
Well, at least you can get rid of me. It's quite nice.
So when did you move to England?
Kind of at the same time, which was fucking frustrating as well, because I saved a nice chunk of money, right?
Mm.
And I move over there and half of my pounds were gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
I had, like... Because it was, like, a pound, it was $2. Then all of a sudden, £1 was like $1.2.
I remember being a kid.
It was like that week I moved. I was furious. I was furious.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Because it was so simple, the system of like a pound is $2. Because then when you're at school and you want some Nike Air Max and they're 70 quid, you go, in America, they're 35 quid.
Mm-hmm.
And 35 quid, I can save that up.
Yeah.
70 quid, it's not happening.
Just gotta get my flight, my hotel.
But you know what you get? Well, we went on a family holiday there, and that literally the only thing I was excited about was getting a pair of Nike Air Max. Just running down the street. And I think I shouted, it's like running on air, like that. It's just literally.
Oh my God.
I was like 10.
There's
a video
of
it somewhere.
Still slaps you around.
Oh, awful.
Your chops.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like running on air. It's the most disgusting thing.
I just looked at them
heard.
The whole time and just stroked them. Anyway.
It disgusts me.
That's very sweet. It's very Hermes of you.
Crisps.
Mmm, I like them. I like all the crisps. I don't think I've ever tried a sort of crunchy thing in my mouth and I've gone, I don't like that.
I've always liked...
I tell you what, we had a Christmas special.
Oh,
very nice.
And we had these crisps. What were they?
They were Prosecco and Red Berry.
Oh, wow.
And they
like
were...
Like someone in the business development department is having a nervous breakdown. No, they were like M&S ones, like, and they were... I vomited. I nearly vomited.
Yeah, I gipped. Sure.
It's just disgusting. It's just so...
It's unnecessary.
It's so wrong. Mm.
Like, who's going? Who's out there looking at all the varieties of crisps going, I need more fucking flavours? Like, you don't need to make that happen.
You don't need more flavours. What you do need is brands that already exist to take on other existing flavours that they don't. So, for example, Quavers, I've gone on about this, Quavers used to have prawn cocktail Quavers and salt and vinegar Quavers.
Right.
Bangers.
So superior to cheese Quavers, but they just don't make them.
Right.
And that really upsets. Can you imagine a pickled onion Quaver?
I don't know.
I want it. I want it.
I know. I've always had issues with the pickled onion walkers, you see, because...
Oh, they are weird.
Yeah, I need some maize in my life when it comes to pickled onion.
That's a very interesting pickled onion flavour. Pickled onion walkers. You don't find them very often. No. They're hard to get.
Yeah, that was some niche crisp talk, wasn't it? Anyway, shall we... Eric, I'm going to welcome you to the aisle.
Thank you very much. Very big.
It's a simple life here.
Yeah?
We spend our days lounging in small pools... And
no, this is a metaphor. You're talking about your island, right? Yeah.
No. I'm not killing any metaphorical birds with this statement. I'm just saying I like to chill upon a pool, much like a pig would bathe in the mud.
Right.
That's my own personal way of passing the time here.
And you can pay yourself to a pig.
Yes. Indeed.
A very slender pig.
Thank you. Well, we are the long pigs, aren't we?
We are the long pigs.
Yeah.
You get your three bags, and they're your bags for life. It's all you can live off, so that's your final selection.
Yes.
Some people, they don't necessarily choose their three favourite things,
right?
But they choose kind of longevity crisps.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So I stupidly would go for the three really strong flavours, because that's what I like. But other people have chosen kind of a strong one, and then something a bit more plain that they might have for breakfast, let's say.
That makes sense.
And some people have almost gone for a dessert crisp as well. Prosecco and red berry syrup. So what would you like your first bag to be?
Hula Hoops, original flavour.
Okay, alright. Jesus Christ.
I love them.
Yeah?
We've had an issue with these.
One previous castaway has picked these.
Who picked it?
It was Michael Malarkey.
Michael Malarkey.
I'm going to try and open these like the Rufus Hound way.
Yeah.
Which he normally does.
You've got a bite in there. Here he goes.
So he bites it in the middle.
Yeah, he bites it.
Oh, and then you sort of spread it out.
I've absolutely fucked it, guys.
He's absolutely murdered.
Oh, interesting.
It.
So it's
not too
just,
bad.
So, you know,
it's just more shareable.
You do it with a big bag, and then you can kind of turn and twist and pull it, and it pulls out a perfect circle, like the top of a Kleenex. You know those Kleenex things you get in a taxi?
Yeah, that's very...
Just
very
while you gents are talking, I'm going to don my fingers with some hula hoops.
Which is what... Isn't that what the commercial was? You sort of put, like... You put, like...
Well, you both have piano players' hands, and I have butcher's mitts.
And I...
So it wouldn't really work with me.
As a child...
Could they go on my fingers?
No, they don't.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
So why a plain, as opposed to a barbecue beef, a cheese and onion, a salt and vinegar? Is that all the flavours of hula hoops?
Did you say a cheesy one? They do a straight up cheese.
No, they don't.
Oh, I think they do.
Do they?
It's in a kind of orange pack.
I think you're wrong.
Ads.
Fact check it.
Take this fool down.
Well, I believe I went for original because, like you said, you know, some people went for desserts and all that. And I felt like I needed in my three, I needed something that was just kind of standard. Like, like just standard taste. But I remember tasting them for the first time when I moved to the UK. I was like, these are good. And
so that's around the same time that I'm walking down the street going, it's like walking on air. And you're in your hula's going, these are good. And all of a sudden, we were the two worst people in the universe.
I don't know why I like them, but they're great.
And they're more potato-y than potato crisps.
Yes.
Remember, they're so potato. They are so
potatoes.
They're potatoes. They're potato, dried potato mass, or whatever it's called.
But that's what I feel about them. It's like that. If I'm hungry, I feel less hungry after a bag of hula hoops. Well, with a pack of like other crisps.
Yeah, they're more of a meal. Yeah.
They're more of a meal
than a maize-based snack, which always feels like a kind of a dirty treat.
You don't really have to chew them. Mm. I mean, that's the sound of a crisp, right? Even though
you can always make a good sound of that because you've got that gap in between.
And I like that because we get complaints about why would you make a podcast about things crisps? Because then we just have to listen to people eating crisps.
How that you come.
Which for some people is really annoying.
I'll take my mouth away from the microphone.
I was ready to, once again, be disdainful. But, do you know what I'm eating them? I am enjoying it. They're nice. I think I said this last time there.
I kind of get them. I think as a plain crisp, I think I would have these over most things.
I'd have them, I'd have them over just a crit, like a Walker's or any kind of crispy crisp.
When there's a bad selection somewhere, I don't mind a ready salted hula hoop.
No.
Oh, shit. It may contain milk and gluten. Milk? Are you both okay?
Okay, but...
I don't know. I feel a bit sick all of a sudden.
I was just looking at the ingredients. Simple ingredients for a simple crisp.
Okay.
I think. It's quite nice. You know, you've got your potato, your sunflower oil, rice flour, maize flour, salt, and potassium chloride.
There is some maize in there for you.
Is that how they sell them? Did you just coin that phrase, Eric?
What's that?
The simple crisp. Simple ingredients for a simple crisp.
No, I just came up with that.
You should write
Wow, you should do copy.
Because I'm thinking... That's a very good way of summing
I always
up
feel like
a plain hula hoop.
When you know, when you look at some crisps, they've got like all these random chemicals and ingredients.
Oh yeah.
Hula hoop just keeps it simple, guys.
A bit of potato.
Simple ingredients for a simple crisp.
Yeah.
For simple people. Is it a nostalgia thing with these as well?
So for me, I think, because I lived in 7 countries before the age of 12, right?
Wow.
So I kept moving around. And so when you move around...
Like the littlest hobo. Did you help one person in every country that you were in?
Yeah, kind of like quantum leap. I would just go into a kind of, no, you are fixed, and I would go away.
Oh, boy.
But every time I moved around, the crisps like the Walkers,
right,
kind of have taken over the world.
Lay's, so they're Lay's in America.
Lay's,
it's the same, isn't it? Yeah.
I think they're Lay's as well in France and stuff. Yeah. They're kind of standard. Yeah. And therefore, I was never like that enthralled by them. But whenever I would go to a country and... each country has sort of their own unique, weird little one, which is one of the reasons why I chose the three that I chose today. I feel like they're very British.
Yeah.
Like anywhere else I go in the world, I can't find, not that I necessarily look, but I don't really find hula hoops.
In any other country, I get angry that you can't get our crisps in that. I don't understand why they haven't.
Well, that sounds
America,
like a very British thing for you
I know,
to do.
Right, yeah.
Right, there's 195 other countries in the world, and why can't fucking anyone speak English?
For fuck's sake,
pricks.
But you're in America, it's like, why is everything a crinkle cut paprika flavour? What are you doing? For fuck's sake,
you're that
sour
guy.
Cream, everything, sour cream.
You're that guy who goes to the English shop and spends like. And
75
like,
quid on Cocoa Pops.
Yeah. Or like £12.50 on some baked beans.
Yeah, yeah. Some back bacon, proper bacon.
Marmite.
Not crispy, floppy, flappy bacon.
£19 well spent.
Yeah, yeah.
So, should we conclude our thoughts on the plain hula hoops, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can argue with them. I'm never going to buy a bag of plain hula hoops.
No.
Unless I'm... I feel like if I really hated myself, and this is not... I think if I was having a really flat day and feeling quite depressed, this would be quite a good snack. Because it's crunchy, so it's like a crisp, but also it's something inherently just nothing about it. Like,
wow.
Just, I mean, it is a zero. You look at it and this is sort of, that sort of zero
that's
feel.
That's you and that's me.
And it's half a zero.
But then the thing is, it's a zero if you look at it, you know, like you would a ring. But if you just turn it around, it's a thick shape.
It's a Jaguar tire.
There's a girth to it.
It's
a wheel.
I think for me, the choice is the sound it makes and the fact that it feels more like a snack. Like, I do feel less hungry afterwards. Plus the joy of making a little ring.
True.
They don't go on my fingers, so
true. It's a standalone snack as well. You don't need a sandwich.
No, that's true. That's true.
You know what I mean? It is. It's a good 11s.
I find I put too many in, though, and it hurts my palate.
Yeah.
I get a little bit too crazy, and then the ones in the middle of my mouth will break. Then there's the ones on the outside, which could cause some damage to the soft palate.
I don't think I've ever eaten hula hoops, not one at a time.
You eat them one at a time?
They're a one at a time crisp.
Oh, they're right? Because if you put multiple in the mouth, you've got a weird mouth,
mate. I've got a weird mouth.
I feel like it feels dangerous to put multiple hula hoops in your
you've
mouth.
You've got to respect the hula hoop.
You do have to respect.
Do you know what I mean?
There is a respect.
My favourite hula hoop are the ones you get that are really thin, like an actual engagement ring.
They hula... Oh, yes.
Every now and then. In the same way with a Kit Kat, every now and then you get one that's all chocolate. And you're like, oh, yeah. Until you realise it's Nestle chocolate. You're like, oh, no, I wanted a Kit Kat. I like the little thin ones you get.
Yeah.
In hula hoop news...
Mm-hmm. Hula hoop news.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise I just created a new segment there. Hula hoops brought out these new Maisie-based hula hoops.
So oh, the fat ones, like Big O's or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the salt and vinegar ones.
Yeah, my sister smashed a whole bag.
Oh, I smashed an entire bag whilst feeling very sad.
No, she was having a whale of a time.
Oh my God, the verb smashed a bag. I can see your sister just devour a bag.
Yeah. Welcome back to Blighty. Yeah. What are you going to do when you land? Going to smash a bag of big hula o's.
Do you know what? She had it for dinner as well. She just smashed a bag. She was like, this is my dinner this evening.
I had mine for lunch. It was really good.
I don't know.
It's an empty feeling afterwards, though, when you eat a bag. My car, the battery ran out of my car, and so I ate a tube of Pringles for my lunch in the car. And then I had to piss in the... because Green Flag took so long to come, so I pissed in the Pringles
thing. Where were you?
In my car.
Yeah, but where was the car?
Thornton Heath. You can piss in your car in Thornton Heath.
Get out of the car and go to the loo.
What loo? Oh, well, my car wasn't by my house.
No, I'm not saying it was. I'm sure it was near something.
No, it's all residential around there.
You could have weed against a wall.
That's public indecency. I was weighing in a Pringles.
Yeah, I almost got arrested for that.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
So did I actually.
And suddenly remembering the law.
And old Granty just started fighting the police, so he got away with it.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah. He's an absolute nightmare.
Definitely not Hugh Grant.
Where were you when you nearly got arrested for it?
I think it was New Year's Eve, so they sort of allowed it a little bit. Okay. But I was drunk and I was peeing in central London.
You have to be allowed to piss in the street on New Year's Eve. That's got to be the law.
Right, and as I started peeing, this van full of cops.
Oh, no.
And they just stop out and they open the door and they're like, what do you think you're doing? I was like, I'm sorry, I'm weeing and I can't stop. And all like, well,
this awkward conversation. No, it's still coming.
Well, don't do it again. I was like, all right, sorry.
I will. I definitely will. So, what are you doing? I'm looking for my penis. There it is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Next up. This is another one that when I first moved to the UK, actually I was mad when my grandma, because I am sort of half British in terms of like family,
right.
I just don't have the paperwork, and my nan, I remember like moving to Newmarket, and she gave me this pack, and I could barely speak English, and she gave me this pack of Monster Munch. And I opened it and I tried it and I was furious because I was like, "What the fuck is this? What? Like, what? I don't know. Why is it a weird foot?" And then I put it and I was like, "Onion."
I've never thought about that actually.
I mean, that is mad. That is a mad
onion
flavor.
Crisp, a vinegary onion crisp.
But as my palate evolved around British people, or devolved. Yeah. I began to fall in love with that monster.
Mm-hmm. They are my 4-year-old demanded a pack of these. I give my kid Monster Munch. they're his favourite. And the smell of a 4-year-old boy eating Monster Munch is nostalgia. I just go up and sniff him. And I've taught him to smell the guff. So he knows to, when he opens the bag, he has to open the bag and go and get that initial...
Oh, very nice. Yeah, and it's one of those packs that, like, I probably wouldn't even buy at the store. Yeah, but when I was asked, you know, which three flavours, it was those three that just came to mind naturally. Yeah, pickled onion Monster Munch. It brings back a lot of memories I don't want to remember.
Just get your nose on it. Don't put it in your mouth. Get your nose on it.
Yeah, that smell is disgusting.
You shouldn't eat that.
No.
That should not be eaten.
It smells gorgeous.
But again, you can use your fingers to give yourself little hands. So it's like the hula hoop. You can have a lot of joy.
My kid does this. He eats it and goes, bites these two bits off. And he turns it into a Y. He goes, Daddy, look. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he's learning. I like how bulgy it is, you know? It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
It's an uncomfortable just to say, if you use that and the hula hoop, you've got yo.
Whoa.
Wow.
I mean, you could also, like, buy a little bit of the hula hoop and make a C, and then you've got koi.
Koi.
You can have a lot of fun with the alphabet. But, it's a thick foot. And what I like about the Monster Munch is, where's the rest of his body? Like, who is this monster? You know, why are we eating his feet only?
Who is this monster? I'm sure you used to get, like,
is there a story
on the back?
It's worth pointing out that actually on the pack, they're eating them as well, so...
so these monsters are eating their own feet.
They are.
But these are called Mega Monster Munch, so... What does that mean? Does that mean they're big as they used to be, or what? Why are they mega now?
We've talked about this before.
Have we?
They rebranded back to bigger ones. Yeah, I bet they then called the Mega Monster Munch. Be like, yo, look at our big old monster.
So the pickled onion monster, right, he's all fat and yellow, and he's got 2 feet, and he's got 3 arms, 1 big red nose and 1 eye. He's a cyclops. And he's got terrible teeth. He's only got a couple of teeth. Then he's got his friends, the Flaming Hot and then Roast Beef. And they look different as well. They're all mad.
Well, this monster, the yellow monster, apparently, according to a computer, he or she used to have 3 flavours. So he or she was the ambassador of pickled onion, cheese and onion, and saucy.
Cheese and onion?
Apparently there was cheese and onion. Oh, my God. There was a giant prawn flavour. But it was just called giant prawn.
What's the difference between prawn and giant prawn?
Giant prawn? I don't know.
It normally means it's better, right?
Taste the size. I don't know. Can you taste the size?
Big prawns are better than little prawns, huh?
Are they in flavour? I don't know.
Yeah, they are.
So I like it here that the monsters are here forever, so they're not affected by time, but the snack is. So it does give you a best before day. And this is the thing. This is what I mean by the ingredients. The ingredients here, mad. You've got maize, rapeseed oil, pickled onion seasoning, onion powder, sugar, flavour enhancers. Mm. Like,
is that monosodium glutamate?
Monosodium glutamate, yeah.
They have.
Check you out. Disodium 5. I mean, there's loads. There's too much. There's even colour.
Well, it's got to be a colour, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but, like, what did it come before colour?
They were completely transparent before.
That's it.
You don't put the bag and think you've been ripped off.
Like, just you'd look into it and it's just this weird void and your eyes can't handle it. That's interesting. And then here's another little thing that it says on a packet, suitable for monsters and vegetarians. As
this is did Morrissey write that?
Yeah. Well, and I like that the packet is like, you know, it says 40 grams. But in a way, the oxygen trapped in the crisp is also part of the flavour.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, the whole...
The fact that
if you put a whole Monster Munch in your mouth, you could just use your saliva to melt it down to a paste rather than use your teeth.
Okay, let's try it.
Have you ever done that?
It ain't
like, no, it's like a Wotsit. You know, like when you put Wotsit in, you don't have to use your teeth. You could just concentrate with your saliva.
Skips are the ultimate one for that.
Oh, yes, they are.
It is quite disgusting to actually do it then. Right, I'm going to try and dissolve a...
It's not as easy as you'd think.
Because they're quite thick.
Yeah.
But, like, you could do it.
I want to chew it. You need some crush in there. Get that soft palate in. Go on, Sam. That's, there you go, lad.
Sam's face, as he's doing it, it's as if he's transforming into a werewolf, but there's but there's no werewolf things happening to him, so it's just he's still becoming human. It's a human transforming into a human.
It's really weird doing that, because there's a moment where the Monster Munch just goes... Ah, fuck it. And it just gives up and turns to slurry.
Okay.
There's also what I like here at the top of the crisp, typical nutritional values. And it's like, you don't need to put that in. No one's eating the fucking Monster Munch going, how many proteins is this? It's like, come on, you just want to eat
post-gym snack.
Well, it is. I think there's a hole in the market now, advertising-wise, for someone just to embrace the fact that I'm a crisp. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
None of this, like, as you say, like, as part of a balanced, healthy diet included with exercise.
But yeah, I love the way they can fob you off as saying suitable as part of a balanced, healthy diet. Basically saying, if you eat this, just eat kale afterwards. Yeah, yeah. That's not part of a healthy diet, just because you eat it This isn't a part of the healthy diet.
This isn't the healthy bit.
No.
Although, is it a crisp? Because it says here, huge chunks of pickled onion flavour, baked corn snack.
Yeah.
It's a baked corn snack.
Yeah.
Well, I think we would say that it would fall under the umbrella term for crisps in this country.
Right.
I think.
It's an ongoing debate, though. Some purists would say, if it ain't a potato, it ain't a crisp.
They would probably have trouble letting a hula hoop.
Yeah. That's got potato in it, right?
Yeah, but it's not potato.
Potato.
What is it? It's
no, hula hoops is potato.
Yeah, and other stuff.
It's reconstituted potato, isn't it?
Yeah, it's dry. It's potato starch and potato flour.
Vodka's a crisp, then.
or rice.
It's fine. I'm not drunk. I'm just love crisps.
I've drunk some crisps.
Shut up, Mum.
They are a king crisp. No doubt for me. I mean, they weren't in my top three, but they're definitely in my top five.
Yeah.
And they're actually the crisp I eat the most.
I feel like on a desert island, if I have like all these monster munchers, they're not necessarily for me. They're more like for these band of pirates that visit the island, and I can trade with them these goodies.
Okay.
I feel like the hula hoops, every day I can eat that.
Yeah.
But the pickle, the monster I munch, no, that's a treat.
They are tradable. Yeah.
They're more like
Well, you could have them and you could pop. Well, I feel like hula hoops are more like money.
Because of their shape.
Yeah.
This little coin shape.
Little coins.
Because some coins have a hole in it.
Like, you could chuck up one of those little leather bags over, like, you got the money. You could throw the bag across, but then it doesn't make the right sound when it lands. The guy's like, kicks it up, and it's just full of hula hoops.
Hey, there's a commercial for the simple ingredients and for simple people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's changed now. Yeah, it's evolved.
The guy going, Well, I think it's a very good choice. But it's a very popular choice. I think it's probably alongside squares, it's probably the most popular one we have.
Yeah. It is.
Oh, does it get chosen a lot?
It does. Mm-hmm. More than you think. Interesting. I kind of thought they were a bit more niche.
Did you pick them, Sam?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So, on that note, shall we...
Would you like to go to the third choice? Yes. Or would you like to go... I brought you both a surprise.
No, I'd like to see a surprise, please.
So I have a surprise. So like I said, when I go to a different country, I like to sort of eat like the locals. and therefore, sort of, I try their crisps. The one
good for the immune system, isn't it?
Right,
That's how you acclimatise.
And so there's one pack of crisps that I like to have when I go to France. Okay. And again, it's that one's nostalgic. That one's from when I lived there as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I used to, for some reason, love them. And they're peanut-flavoured... Sort of, this pack is called Curly. I don't necessarily know if it's the Le Curly. Huh? I don't necessarily know if these are like the Walker's version of France. I just bought whichever one looked more appealing. But
from the House of Vico.
They're like, what are these called? They're like Watsit shapes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they
are. Do you get a lot of peanut crisps in France? Like,
not really.
More than one.
No, I didn't think so. That's why I was like, I just grabbed whichever one was just there at the store. But that's one that I always go for.
Yeah.
And I love it. And every time I introduce like some friends to it, they're mad. They're furious that I gave them that. But it's like, ooh. I love peanut butter like on my sandwiches.
I love peanuts. I love peanut butter. For I just always felt weird about peanut crisps.
They're like a mini Watsit.
Oh, they're very small, aren't they?
They're quite pale in colour with like a brown speckle, like they have some kind of Victorian disease.
They look like the grubs that they eat on I'm a Celebrity.
They're a little bit grubby. And the thing with it is I don't feel like it has tastes when you crunch it down. It's when you've swallowed it that the taste exists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Correctamundo, Eric. Correctamundo. Wow.
At first,
isn't that weird? It's when you swallow it that the taste exists.
You could almost like, is this like supposed to be barbecue beef or something? What is this? Some kind of barbecue beef or something?
Yeah, it's entirely
like, no, there's my nuts, you idiot.
Kapow!
But it is very much peanut, isn't it? It's very much peanut. It's not like there's nothing else. It feels like it's peanut.
I'm liking them.
Or as the French say, cacahuète.
Cacahuète?
Isn't that a nice word?
That's lovely.
Cacahuète.
Cacahuète. What are these?
You would have thought that'd be diarrhea.
Oh, mais non, le cacahuète.
No,
I think it'd be really nice to have a variation of these. It's got a little bit of chili with it, so it's like a saute.
Mm. That would be nice.
Yeah, I guess you could dip that in
a bit of sweet chili.
Mm-hmm.
Dip in that in a
chili sauce.
But even my French family, when I said to my mum, I was like, can I just buy a few things before I go to the UK? She was like, what? And I was like, I want a couple of things like this, and just all nostalgic things. And I was like, oh, and a pack of these peanut. And she was like, oh, you're fucking gross. And so even, I don't think it's necessarily a French thing. It's just that it exists in France for people like me.
I can't stop eating them.
No, they're really nice.
Oh, they're very Moorish.
You know what it is? There's a real kind of, it's not subtle, yet it's not overpowering. It starts with salt. You just get pure salt. And then as you swallow it, then comes the peanut flavour. But like, I mean, as we all know, salt.
Is delicious.
Like,
God, they are salty.
Bam. They're good, right?
Have a look on the salt content in that. I've got a funny
Can you read it in French, though?
They're not that salty.
No?
100 grams, 1.63 grams.
Oh, my God. Producer Adam has just produced.
So I was wondering what it'd be like in a sandwich. If you had a peanut butter and jam sandwich.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to throw some of those in.
Right, so...
So you're dipping the cacahuète crisp in the jar of peanut butter.
Le cacahuète beurre.
Le cacahuète.
And it's posh peanut butter, so...
So not very nice.
Peanut overload. Peanut overload.
That's a lot of peanut. I mean, I'm going back in.
No, it does not need...
It doesn't need
peanuts.
More peanut.
No, it doesn't need more peanut.
The last thing that crisp needs...
Because of the salt, right?
...is more peanut.
Have you got a little spoon? I could try it on... I might try peanut butter on a Monster Munch. I've got a funny feeling.
No, I haven't. We're on a desert island.
And also, for anyone that's interested, Le Curly has a YouTube channel. I don't know what they're doing on that YouTube channel, but they do have a...
Where? Right, here we go.
So the French, it's La recette historique et inimitable. So it's the recipe that's historical, and inimitable is like nobody else can replicate the flavor, right? Un goût unique, the cacahuète, a unique taste of peanut, une texture croustifondante, a texture that is crispy, melty.
Crispy melty.
Crusty fondant.
Légère en bouche, like light in the mouth, for a pleasure that is 100% gourmand, which is 100% tea. Like, gourmand, what's the word for gourmand? It's like, sort of peckish, like, ooh, je suis gourmand. I'm like, je veux.
So read that sentence again. Taste that is 100%.
Une texture crusty fondante, légère en bouche, pour un plaisir 100% gourmand.
Wow.
Yeah, that's nice. Cool. Right?
I want to eat even more.
You damn.
Right, I've got a spoon.
And what's your intention here, Sam?
Well, having dipped the peanut crisps in the peanut, I'm going to try the peanut, a good slab of peanut butter.
My God, you're going to be chewing on that for years.
On a Monster Munch. I've got a funny feeling.
You know, there's a genuine phobia of getting peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't like it.
It's cool. Yeah.
Like when you give a dog a toffee. It's horrible.
But at least we have fingers, so I don't understand where that fear comes from. Because if you've got fingers, you're kind of always fine.
Scooping. Unless you have the most deep sort of mouth cavity.
Like even your fingers can't reach.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
All right, let's give this a go.
So a pickled onion Monster Munch with peanut butter.
Sam.
I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying that you're experimenting here.
Sticking to his mouth. He's freaking out. Look at him. He's freaking out.
I've got no way to get it off.
It's not that good.
No, your face told it all there.
So yeah, I thought it was an unnecessary challenge.
Everywhere.
But I like that you did.
Eric, thank you so much for our curly.
You're welcome.
Via the House of Vico. I find them particularly gourmand.
Is that the right word?
Très bien, oui. Merci beaucoup.
I love how anybody thinks, people don't speak French, like everyone in England. But if you say something, je suis gourmand, I truly believe that a French person would look at me and go, oh, that person's French.
Yeah, but actually adding that is a very French thing. I remember when I started teaching my wife French, it was like, like all these noises are actually really important in the language of French. It's very strange.
Yeah.
So the fact that you do that actually makes you sound more French.
Yes, I knew it.
Je suis gourmand.
You know, for example, if we can't speak a word of a certain language, like we just kind of do an impression like that. So for French, one might go like, and make that kind of noise.
Do
that? If you were going to do German, you'd go like, like that sort of thing.
Wait, sorry, are you doing impressions of dogs?
German dog.
But I asked a friend who was German.
Oh yeah,
what the English version of that? I expected it to be something like. And he said it was.
You fucking.
Because frustratingly and sadly, it's all football hooligan stuff.
Yeah.
So really, the main import that we see on mainland Europe isn't the sort of like, it is the football hooligan.
I can't remember who it was. I spoke to, it was university or something. It was a German person or a French person. I can't remember who it was. And I said, look, what does English sound like? Does it just sound like really boring? So I thought maybe English is just... And they said, no, you have lovely round vowels. It sounds round and interesting and round and circular. Mm. So that's some, you know...
I mean, it's a poetic language, certainly.
I think there are definitely poems.
There are
in
some
English.
Poems, yeah.
Well, let's introduce your third, Chris.
My third? It's the knickknacks. Ooh. Nice and spicy.
Do you know what? Actually, on the way here with my sandwich for lunch, because I had to buy a multi-pack. Because you can't get singles. Can't get single knickknacks.
You can in Sainsbury's.
Can you?
In Whitehorse Road, by Selhurst Park, basically.
Okay, thank you, Sam. But anyway, I had a rib and saucy on the way here.
Ooh. I saw a rib and saucy. I was thinking, no one ever chooses a rib and saucy.
I normally go rib and saucy.
You normally go rib and saucy?
Anyway, here we are. The knick-knack.
The knick-knack.
Oh, get your nose on that. Nice and spicy.
I like the way you're talking like a sommelier for wine.
Right.
Get your fucking nose on that crisp. Jesus Christ.
Knick-knacks.
I believe it's a fucking 2015, isn't it?
This is what Bombay... This is what Bombay Mix thinks it is.
What I would say, though, you bite into one, right?
Yeah.
And then look at it. It's only the outer circumference of the crisp that is that dirty colour. The inner is a paler colour. So, my point being, if one were to have a little suck...
You can suck the flavour off.
Like that. I'm going to go back in, post-suck. Yeah, nothing there, nothing there.
Right.
Oh, it's a shame.
It's not marinated.
I think the trick is not to suckle the flavouring off and just leave yourself with a tasteless, grain-based...
Wand.
And I think...
Septum Sempra!
When I see knickknacks, like, on the shelves, it's very much... You can see it. Like, the advertising sort of explodes out of the packet, you know? Mm-hmm. It's, like, nice and spicy, and it's these sort of triangular shapes going, look at me! Look at me! I exist as well.
There's something so slutty and brash about knickknacks.
Intensely tasty, unusually knobbly.
Exactly. There you go. Unapologetic.
Knobbly, wacky, sticks of corn.
Pepperami, pot noodle, knickknacks.
Yeah. Mm.
Again, is this a crisp if it's a stick of corn?
Yeah. I like the irregularity of a knickknack.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. Sad little knobble man. And then look at this club of doom.
Yeah, no, I like it. And the little ones are obviously going to be better because they're more surface, less inner.
So well, do you think they're made almost like a potato ricer?
Yeah, I think they just push through like a big sieve, aren't they?
And they just fall. I reckon they fall into the fryer.
Yeah,
almost like they're all different shapes.
Almost like this German pasta called Spätzle. Is it Spätzle?
Yeah, it's another one. It's been a while since I've had these.
I like them.
I do love when packs say, these come from a multi-pack, not to be sold separately. And I like when you see those that are being sold separately. And then you're like paying, like 60 pence for it. Motherfucker!
It makes me angry.
Yeah, it makes me a little bit angry. I'm like, I would probably do the same that you're doing, but it makes me mad that I have to pay.
It's a two-way street, though, because sometimes there's a can, it says 39p on it, and you take it up, and they're like, 60p, please. You're like, God damn it, it says 39p on the can.
They can't sell you it for 60p.
But in my local shop, four cans of Budweiser, it says, recommended retail price, $5.65 on the outside. He's giving me that for a fiver. He's ignoring it.
Nice.
So I think that, you've got to be there with your corner shop and your newsagent. You've got to, there's a bit of pushing.
Yeah.
But, it's give and take, isn't it?
It's teamwork.
You win some, you lose some.
Now, with a hula hoop, you can stab, this is a very sort of male and female crisp choice because you could put the knick-knack in the hula hoop.
Especially that one.
Oh, look at that. Look how phallic that is.
With some peanut
We are making
butter?
Love
oh, no.
with these crisps. Can you put the...
No, it's anal.
Yeah, you can't put the... You could potentially put a knick-knack in a pickled munster.
That's a good combo. Pick one in your monster munch and a spicy knick-knack.
Mmm!
One can have too much flavour, Sam.
No, that's really good.
Okay.
I recommend that.
All right.
Spicy
I actually did the hula hoop and knick-knack combo, and it was enjoyable.
You don't feel the hula hoop took away from the...
Well, we've done this before, right?
Let's do the cacahuete and the hula hoop, actually.
Yes.
Let's stick that on in there.
Wait.
Okay, so you have to jam it in sometimes. Hello. Oh, look at that! Because it's sort of a nice length, it looks like a pig in a blanket.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Now that is a crisp I want to eat. A pig in blanket flavoured crisp.
It's just been meat on meat.
No, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Double pork.
What about Brussels sprouts and pine nuts?
I'm not banging down the door for that one, I'm not going to lie.
I don't really want a vegetable, unless it's a pickled onion. I don't really want to eat a vegetable.
Pickled sprout.
Sorry, would you eat crisp with a sandwich?
Of course I do, yeah. I think in a meal deal, I usually sort of open the sandwich and place some crisps in there for texture.
Yes. Okay. And what would your meal deal go to?
I've recently become vegetarian, and so now my choices are slightly more limited. Mm. I used to like a chicken, and then sort of anything, any other crisp would be fine with chicken.
Because you're doing the texture thing.
Yeah.
But it was
mainly for texture, yeah.
It would have to be a crisp you can put in, because you can't put all crisps in a sandwich.
Can't put a Monster Munch in a sandwich.
It'd be harder to put a Monster Munch. It's possible.
But it's risky.
It's risky. Certainly
risky. More of a baguette crisp. You could,
because you could crunch them in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't, poke through the
Or you'd have visuals as well the whole time. You need to maintain visuals with a Monster Munch. You need to know what you're buying into.
But gentlemen, you know, these crisps are becoming paste in our stomachs. So why not just crunch all the pickled onions so then it becomes like a sort of powder. And then you just gently lay them on the sandwich.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea. If you've got your favourite crisps, smash them all up and just have your crisp mix.
Yeah.
And then when you're making a cheese sandwich or something, spoonful of crisp mix into your sandwich.
In fact, that is what I ate for the day of my wedding. I woke up with all my groomsmen and stuff, and we woke up and had some tequila and a crisp sandwich.
Yeah,
that was breakfast.
Yes.
I did it properly. I did it properly.
Sam.
Mm. Oh my god.
What is that over there?
Oh.
Oh my god. What is it?
Whoa.
Oh,
it's like a ghost.
It's Stephen.
Stephen.
Hello, mate.
Stephen.
Stephen, here he is.
Hello, mate.
Here he is.
Oh, thanks, he's
Stephen.
Just dropped one.
So, Eric. Stephen
Thank
is
you.
Our thanks, Stevie. Stephen is our seagull who each week he drops in.
God, what's he brought?
A foreign crisp.
I mean, I know of Stephen.
Of course, yeah, don't we all?
Because I don't know, I'm just going to quickly plug it, right? But I do a podcast called Topical Island.
Okay.
And on the island, I live with various animals, mainly Gregory the chimpanzee, who's my co-host.
All right.
But sometimes Stephen does actually.
Oh
pop
my
in.
God, is there cross-pollination?
Yeah.
I didn't realise that he was already...
Because you guys are actually you're not that far from me.
No.
Your island, yeah, I mean, my island sort of moves around. Do you remember like that? Do you remember that Noah's Island? It was like a polar bear that was in charge of an island that was moving around the planet.
No.
It was a cartoon. How old are you guys?
37.
Oh, fucking, I'm 32, so you wouldn't know.
I probably watched it with my son.
But it was like a polar bear, and he had like a little rat friend. And like, whisky, boisky. Do you not remember?
It's a different language.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Well, I'm just saying that our metaphorical islands are coexisting in the same universe.
Okay, with our metaphorical icebergs.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. I like that there would be a...
That's why I know Stephen.
It almost feels like the Marvel universe now, a little bit.
You know? It's nice, right?
Iron Man could walk in. That kind of thing, you know.
We could one day go to war.
I would love that.
That would be, oh, wouldn't that be lovely?
I would love that. Stephen has brought...
Yes, please do.
Gonna say something racist.
That's a weird name for a crisp.
China, they're from China.
Okay, but I was... part of me was like, because I thought that was a T and that was an H, so I was going to attempt it, but then that's definitely a castle. So.
Look, at the top here, pass us that.
Montreal.
Yeah, they're kind of like a Canadian-Chinese hybrid. Because they're
vegetable and chicken flavour, and they look like onion rings... And they have pictures of just a chopped courgette and a potato on them. And what must be the most uninspiring Bavarian meal of all time.
Shall we?
The back is just... Why have they got a different letters, eh? Why can't you just...
It's our first green pack as well. Because Monster Munch is purple, Hula Hoop red, Knick Knack orange... My curlies were red.
Your curlies.
This is green. It feels like we're going to eat something healthy here.
My curlies were red.
These have been in an airplane, so they are full of air.
Yeah, well, that inert gas has expanded.
To open, so I'm going to go for a pair of scissors here.
Oh my God.
Do the Rufus trick.
Okay, here's the Rufus trick.
Do you know what? Nigella Lawson would open a bag of crisps with a fucking pair of scissors, you know.
So, can that air come out? Hang on, that's a good
gas on.
To get the old guff
Get the guff on, yeah.
It's not a great guff. Okay, so Eric, you go like this, and then you start opening it in a circle like this.
I see.
And you just keep on spiralling, and it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Honestly, it feels too much work considering I can get in the normal way.
But look, it's like a convertible.
It is very nice. It is like a sort of...
Take it.
And then once it's empty, it could be like an ashtray at a party.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you've got the walls still. That's very smart.
They look like calamari.
Do not smell very nice. Eric.
Well, let me have a little smell. Actually, the smell is good. There's not much of a smell.
The individual scent is better than the general gut. So, they're a bit stocky on
the
nose.
They are stocky, aren't they?
Oh, goodness. I'm in. The flavour.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
What the fuck? I can't eat it. No, we've got to finish it.
Oh, my God.
It gets better.
I like them. I think they're really good.
Oh, wow. I don't like that one.
When it ends, it's tomato sauce.
What just happened in my mouth? I just gipped.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't get better second time round. It actually gets worse.
Oh, I don't know if I can go again.
I can't eat another one of them.
For the purposes of journalism.
Take this tweet. It goes, you know when you're making chicken stock and there's that kind of scum at the top?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
If you just drank the scum.
That's
and
scum.
The fat.
That's the scum.
Oh, my God.
And then it goes to, oh, my God.
Okay, I'm going to try and talk our listeners through the flavour profile. Here we go. I'm going in. Okay, so we start off. Oh, my God. With a kind of...
I'm going to have a lick at it.
A kind of offaly.
It is offaly.
Oh. Oh, my God.
It's genuinely disgusting.
With some kind of...
It's a tang, isn't there? There's a tang at the end. But then the guffy chicken comes back.
For journalism, I would love to see you eat, like, a handful. But for journalism...
Well, Adam's absolutely monstering them.
Are you serious, Adam?
They're really good. They're sweet.
They are absolutely
They are a little
disgusting.
Bit sweet. There is a sweetness to them.
Try them with a peanut one.
Okay, that's all right. I'll do the third go. I'll do a peanut one with the chicken. Because chicken and peanut is a delicious meal.
It's a lovely meal.
A little bit.
I'm doing it. I'm sweating.
Yeah, I can't eat one of those again.
Yeah, but I feel like the curly, the cacahuete, has saved it. But I don't want to taste the other shit.
He doesn't have to save it. It's not his job.
I'll just eat the cacahuete.
Just have the cacahuete.
Bang straight through him. You can't be sitting there like sucking on it and like trying to enjoy the flavour. No, you just chew that thing, get it down, yeah, and it's not as bad.
It feels
and
like
you like them, Adam. You like them.
I love them.
Mm. You're an absolute filth bag, Adam.
Yeah, he likes all the crisps we don't like.
Yeah,
he's different.
Yeah. So, Eric, how this works is you now have the opportunity to swap in the foreign crisp.
I think I know the answer!
For one of yours, so...
Including.
And we will also give you the option to swap in a curly.
Indeed. So I will do that.
Oh, we got to swap.
I'll swap
curly in.
Can I see which one you think I'm going to swap? Like, what would you two vote?
I don't think it's going to be the pickled onion monster munch.
I think he's going to take the pickled monster munch
you
out.
You do?
I do.
I think that's the last one you take out because it reminds you of grandma.
She's British, though. You didn't have to do that accent.
I think you're going to get rid of the knickknacks.
The correct answer is knickknacks.
Oh,
the hula hoop is the meal. The Monster Munch is the trade that I can do with the pirates.
What about the pirates?
Well, knickknacks, I was eating it today, I was like, actually, maybe it was just a memory. Maybe I enjoyed the memory more than the actual crisp.
So often with crisps.
The cacahuete is something very real to you.
Cacahuete is always going to be good. It's always going to be good. So,
le gourmand. What's the word?
Gourmand.
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 Je suis gourmand.
Je suis gourmand. Avec mon bite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Did I just say with my penis?
Yes, but it's ma bite.
Ma bite.
Which is weird because an erect penis is still female in female in the French language.
That's great.
To trick them.
C'est ma bite, mais c'est mon zizi. So you've got like you've actually got both genders for both vaginas and penises.
Really?
So it's like, you know, it's mon vagin but ma chatte. Isn't that nice?
Mon vagin. I'm keeping that. It sounds like someone.
Ma chatte, as in my cat.
Yeah, pussy.
They actually call it a cat.
Well, what's a pussy? You call it a cat as well.
Meow.
I like that they're just calling it a cat. That's what I like.
It's a female cat though.
Sexy.
It's not a shirt.
And mon what? Mon vagin.
Vagin. It's like vagina, but without the A.
Vagin. It sounds like a cat.
Do we
from
call
Les
vaginas pussies because cats have the most attractive vaginas?
I don't think so.
I've never seen a cat's vagina. So
they are lovely little things. But now they're. They are perfect.
Which is a shame because I believe the penis of a cat.
Is a
barbed wire bastard.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They got like foxes.
Yeah, they on purpose sort of scrape it to the point where it's painful, so that when, like, after coitus, the female cat does not want to play with it? Other males.
Because I know a fox's penis actually has barbs, so the female fox can't get away. So once they're in, it's just
like, same with dogs.
And just dogs have one of those. Yeah, because
they're not barbed. But the way they do it is they sort of lock, they like fuse together, and they can't.
Apparently, if you throw a bucket of water over mating dogs, apparently it's very funny. I mean, it's obviously very cruel, but that's what they used to do in the old days. Like my mum was like, "Yeah, we just throw water. The dogs around 6 feet. Throw water over them." It's not my mum, like that. And then the dogs try to run away, but they're like fused.
Just to clarify, the throwing the water over them is a way of getting them unfused.
Because I'm guessing it's the heat. Yeah.
So when dogs have sex, they quite often get stuck. I've seen it in Thailand.
They melt together.
They just get stuck.
Yeah, you've not seen Terminator 2. That's what it's inspired by. the melting police officer is actually two dogs fucking.
Jay, that's a nice bike.
Hey, where's Max? Oh, Wolfie's fine, honey. Wolfie's just fine. God, I'm so glad I remember the two dogs' names in Terminator 2. Well, it's not only one, but there's the trick dog.
That was a good game.
Trick dog name.
I know. So knickknacks are out.
Knickknacks are out.
Cacahuets are in. The curly cacahuets, the plain hula hoop, and the pickled onion monster munch.
They feel good.
Three.
Feel good.
Bonjour. No, how do you say congratulations?
Félicitations. Félicitations, yeah.
Félicitations. Something like that, wasn't it?
Felicitations.
Yes. Félicitations.
It's just fancy English, isn't it?
It's a solid choice. I'm enjoying the curly cacahuets. We've obviously never had them on the island before.
Well, actually, you know, keep them, because I was going to take them back home with me, because I love them. I normally don't like sharing stuff, so...
Well, we're not really... We're not allowed to share on the island.
I hate tapas.
Other than our initial kind of sharing of your choices, me and Sam must now go back to our sections of the island and...
Well, firstly, we have some more questions.
Get those fucking things away from
me. Honestly, guys, I think you're wrong.
No.
They're really good.
No, chicken and vegetable.
I would rather murder you and eat your flesh than eat one of those crisps again. Those Canadian Chinese flavours. Not very good.
Until you said that, you and me were about to become best friends, because these little peanut numbers.
I would make you into crisps. And I feel like the island would be better off for it than these Canadian Chinese monstrosities.
Yes.
And we've got Monster Munch here. And those ones are the real fucking monsters.
So also on the island, you get to take away with you a soft drink of your choice.
Oh.
Now, we land this on you just out.
Okay, so, well...
For example, I'm a Diet Coke man.
I like going for the first thing that comes to my head when it's like a question like this.
Okay.
And the first thing that came to my head was this agave drink with pulp that exists. And it's like when you drink it, you feel like these little bits of like what feels like thick sperm going down.
Yeah, there. Right. Yeah,
do you know which ones I mean?
Where I think I do.
They're like there's like little bits of like jellied eggs.
It's not the Rubicon one, is it?
No, the Rubicon doesn't have bits in it.
I don't know what the flavour is, but that was the first thing that came to my mind was, I think I'd like that.
Well, coconut water, there's something about... coconut water does feel like someone's mixed sort of like 50 mils of sperm into a glass of water.
It's viscous.
Viscous.
Isn't it? That's a great word.
Mm.
Viscous.
Just because after it goes down, you're like, no, that wasn't right.
No.
Alright, so an agave drink with agave cum pulp.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's good though, because that sounds like it'll have some nutrient properties.
Whereas my Diet Coke...
No. Just that stuff that they...
The nutritional information, it's just wall-to-wall zeros.
What's the worst one? What's the bad bit in it?
Phenylalanine. No, it's not. Oh, just the sweetener. Aspartame.
I mean, when I saw that video of, like, you know, a Coke, and then you put, like, some metal in it, and then it just melted, like, I was like, well, actually, I'm probably going to not drink that anymore.
Yeah.
You also, Eric, get a choice of dip.
Oh.
Now...
With the flavours that I have, it's quite difficult, I feel.
You've not to dip. You've not got a dipper's selection.
No. But actually, I feel like the one that would work with all of them, sour cream and chives.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like sour cream and chives would work with the hula hoop.
Mm-hmm.
It would work, actually, with the cacahuete a little bit. It'd be sort of that fresh vibe. And then a Monster Munch, I feel like it can't do any harm with it.
No. I agree. Now, are we talking... Like a kind of...
It's got to be a cheap-ass one.
Are we talking a homemade fancy one, like with some paprika sprinkled over the top? Or are we talking like Lidl's finest?
Like dirty?
Gentlemen, I'm going to be honest. Even though I have a very good patois, I don't think I've ever had a fancy sour cream and chive. I've always been quite the scummy sort of like... Cool. But I'm not scummy guacamole.
No,
if someone gives me fucking that guacamole, slap them.
Yeah, that kind of
the stuff that doesn't go, the stuff that doesn't go brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It tastes like vomit.
No, it has to be good guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And honestly, guacamole was the first thing that came to my mind, but I was like, but is that really a dip?
It feels like you're cheating a vegetable.
It is.
Yes, it feels like I was cheating.
But I would let you have it for the sheer fact that you didn't say guac.
It's a guac attack. I think I've said that before in my life.
I know, that was a bad comment.
Time for a guac attack, guys. Yeah.
Hey, who brought the guac?
And even like, so sour cream is good as well, because I feel like I could eat it every day.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, you know, a good nacho cheese, for example, a good one.
Oh, right.
That is...
Yeah.
They
really
are very
gross, yellow.
Yes, I really like those, but I couldn't eat those every day.
No. It's very, very rich.
It's very rich.
You're going to get the Doritos one here, and it's disgusting, and you do not want to read the nutritional information of that. I've deliberately not done it, because it's a pot of cheese vomit.
God, now, is that the cheese vomit? Is that someone eating loads of cheese and then vomiting? Or is that, like, the cheese able to vomit itself?
No, I think it's basically someone with an incredibly poorly sort of intestinal disease being forced to eat maybe sort of like 50 slices of processed American cheese.
Oh, my God.
And then just vomiting that into
I'd say
part
it would be
of
more
Doritos
of a leakage from a wound.
An old wound.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's a vomit. I think it's something that it has been secreted. Psst,
why didn't you get it looked at, Tom?
Exactly.
Tom, gross. That doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Away from there all of a sudden.
And then they peel back the thing, and then, oh, everyone goes, oh, my God.
It smells cheesy.
And then they dip in there.
Yeah, and they start dipping into your body, and they'll be like, oh, my God.
This has gone down.
There's a little moment where everyone looks at each other, and then everyone starts laughing, going, oh, God, this is so wrong, but it's lovely, isn't it? Like that, and you're like, guys. And it's a really sweet tableau at that moment.
And on that note, Eric, thank you so much for
thanks for having me on your lovely island.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I do have an album as well. It's on Spotify or iTunes. So it's free on Spotify, but if you can afford it, you can always buy it. Generally, all I care about is that you listen to it, because you might listen to it and like it, and then great. And if you don't like it, then at least you'll know.
Cool. I will listen to it.
Like, we tried the Canadian fucking Chinese crisps for you.
I feel like if we can do that, people can listen to your fucking album.
Yeah, thanks, you know, man. Yeah. So just it's a stand-up comedy album. So, yeah, give it a go.
And is it a very recent one?
Yeah, I recorded it in Madison, Wisconsin. I think I'm going to try and do one, like, every year, because we're so used to going to the Edinburgh Festival, working really hard an hour, and then it sort of just disappears.
Mm.
And I was like, what are we doing now? We might as well just record it somewhere. And so, you know, like, the material that I have on the album, let's say a couple of tracks, when I finally get my sort of Netflix special or whatever, I'll probably take a couple of tracks from there and stuff like that. But that is part of their culture, to have stand-up comedians record their albums. And it comes from, you know, like, when Carlin and Richard Pryor and stuff like that.
Records.
I don't know many British people that have done it. I know Eddie Izzard's done it. Stuart Lee did one as well. And I think it comes from the culture of driving. Like, over there, the drives are so fucking long, and there won't be any, like, service for radio or whatever, that actually an album is standard. And also, when... this is what someone told me over there. They were like, you should get merchandise for your shows. I was like, but I'm not, like, famous or anything. They were like, don't think of it that way. Americans love to tip if you do a good job. And at the end of a show, instead of just tipping you because you're already getting paid for tickets, they're like, yeah, you know, I'd like to get something out of it. So, like, stickers or T-shirts. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So... that was this good way to, like, now, for example, I'm working on my new Edinburgh show, but I'll be doing that in America. So while I do this new material, I can also say, and I've got a whole album with worked on jokes, and then they'll buy it.
Nice. So is it a track by track thing then? Do you split it?
Yeah, and that's an interesting challenge. So because we're so used to Edinburgh Festival,
like Apple Music or iTunes and things like that, they are
like separated.
Yeah, and they're given titles for each. So it's quite difficult to sort of work out when do you segue and where it ends. And
it's interesting challenge when, like, for example, you know, we grew up with the Edinburgh Festival stuff, so they all sort of like bleed into one another. That's one of the reasons why, you know, when you look at Louis C.K. and stuff, he'll just have a bit and then he'll go, right, here's the next bit, because actually they, especially like in LA, when I do some stage time now. Sometimes I only get 3 minutes. Like, here I'm so used to doing at least 20, or an hour or whatever. Over there, maybe I'll just get 3 minutes. So all of a sudden, actually, everything is more into these sort of album bite-sized tracks. So it's an interesting challenge because this album certainly has like sometimes callbacks, or like one track will start with sort of not mid-sentence, but it'll start from having spoken about something previously. So, so that is frustrating because apparently the way to make money in US, some comics, is only from the fact that these tracks are being played on Sirius XM. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have like, you know, they'll have the premiere of the album, but then they'll play like one track every now and then. And then that track can just be played so much that you get paid.
Damn.
So like from now on, I'm going to start thinking about tracks rather than a whole show. And also interestingly, like, you know, I was talking about clowning and stuff. Physically, nothing translates on albums. So all of a sudden, it was a really interesting challenge to see what, you know, what am I actually saying that only works in words?
Yeah. So I started listening to a lot more comedy albums, just on usually American ones, obviously. And then realizing that there are very few moments in them where you kind of go, oh, I didn't get it because I didn't see what he did.
Right.
That whether it's they're sort of catering to that a little bit.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a fun challenge, and it's what I'm endeavouring to do now.
Well, thank you for the knowledge.
Yeah, well, thanks for inviting me to your island.
It's lovely to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. Too long.
And we'll see you around.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. I'm just going to get back on a raft then.
Okay, okay. See you. Go back to your other island.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
War. War. I want a war.
Thanks for listening to Desert Island Crisps. And special thanks to Eric Lampere for this episode.
And thanks to Wide Awake for the new slamming theme tune.
And Phil Surtees for the freaky outro music.
Adam Loveday Brown for his production and editing skills.
And Ollie Kilby for the boss artwork.
If you like the show, please spread the word so we can keep on making it. People can find us wherever they get their podcasts from.
On social media, you'll find us using @DesertCrisps on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook.
Thanks again for listening. And remember, we'll be here.
Always.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.